You're going to grab out your Bibles if you have them and open to Mark chapter 10, reading verses 46 through 52. It's Mark 10, 46 through 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, "Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you." And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, that I may receive my sight." Then Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Gospel of the Lord. I want to thank you for having me be here. I've been gone for the last few months. I was at a mission trip in Dominican Republic right before Thanksgiving, and I was called to a church up in Stone Bank. They lost their pastor, and I'd preached there before, did Gideon talks there before, so they asked me for December and January to speak there, to preach there, and it's been a real blessing to do that. So glad to be back here in my home church, and so glad to be able to serve you this morning. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you are the light of our life and that you are our guide, protector. Help us, Father, to look to you for direction and deliverance. Lord, thank you for your holy word. I pray now, Father, that my words this morning will glorify you, and encourage you to those who are present today. And Father, speak to all of our hearts in the way that is just special to each one of us personally. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. The song Amazing Grace is a wonderful hymn, one that everyone knows, right? I'm going to test you on that. Let's sing the first verse, all right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Was blind, but now I see. This famous hymn was written by John Newton, and he was born in 1725, and he went to sea at the age of 11 years of age. At 19, he was impressed into a man of war and became the shipmaster's servant. And he was deserted, he was recaptured, and well, this man who he was serving on, the master of the ship, you know, he was flogged, he was beaten, he was abused. He then went to be given over to a slave trader, and the same thing happened. He again was abused by the slave trader. Well, in 1748, in the midst of a terrible storm, John Newton called out to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "Save me." And he committed himself to the Lord Jesus Christ that day as well, too. He became a minister of the word. He wrote over 260 songs, and the Amazing Grace hymn that we just sung there was written from a man who had experienced the blindness of an unbelieving life. He had experienced many terrible things in his life. Many injustices, things he did not ask for that happened to him. But you see, the love and the grace and the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ gave him a new life. Amen? All right. Our gospel reading today, I'm going to get you guys all Pentecostal here, okay? All right. So our gospel reading today, we're talking about the story of Bartimaeus, okay? And now we're told that he is a blind beggar. And I don't know if he was blind at birth or if he was blind during an illness of youth, but all we know is that he is blind. And regardless of how he came to be that, he was at the gates of Jericho. Now, it's common at that time that beggars, that those who had handicaps, would be at the entrance gates of the cities asking and begging for money. So they could go out and they could buy food because obviously they couldn't work for money. So they would beg for it to try to get food so they could subsist and live. And so it was that we're told that Jesus had already come into the gates of Jericho, had already been into the city, and now he was leaving. Jesus was leaving the gates of Jericho, okay? And so as we have Bartimaeus there seeing Jesus leaving, and verse 47 tells us that when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus from Nazareth was near, he began to shout out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, there's two great things here that I love in this verse, is that there's truths. That the first one is that Bartimaeus heard Jesus. He heard Jesus. And the second thing is that then he shouted out to Jesus. Much like you and I, right? We hear about Jesus, and there comes a time in our life where we're going to shout out to Jesus as well. We shout out to Jesus many times in our life too. But what did Bartimaeus hear? Well, I'm supposing he heard a lot of commotion going on, right? Jesus, when he went anywhere, there was commotion going on. He was teaching, he was preaching, he was doing miracles that were going on, and well, he was quite the thing, Jesus was. And so he heard the stories of Christ's miracles. He heard what people are talking about, that he's here. And now he's leaving. And so Bartimaeus was hoping, first of all, he'll see me when he comes in, but he didn't. So now Jesus is leaving. He's saying, "This is it. I've got no other chance. I've got to yell out to Jesus, otherwise he's going to be gone, and I'm going to still be blind. This is my last chance." He was desperate, was he not? How about you and I? Are there times when we're desperate in our lives? Things that we're going through? Prayed about some of those this morning. What do we hear? And who are we hearing? We come to church, we hear God's word preached on. That's wonderful about this church, it's always been, that the God of word is truly preached here. And so we hear from this pulpit, word of God being preached, Jesus being preached. Hear from fellow brothers, sisters of the Lord, Christ being preached. We were listening to Christian radio station, Christian songs. I love the songs, the words of the songs, so many. They're wonderful, aren't they? We're hearing Christ's love for us. But see, we can all hear things. But what we do when we hear something, are we going to see something? Or are we going to do something from what we hear? And that's the second great truth of the verse says. Because see, Bartimaeus heard about Jesus, but now he says, he calls out, he shouts out, he asks for mercy. And he called to him not just once, he called to him several times. People are saying, "Shh, quiet, Bartimaeus, you're making noise." He's like, "I don't care, Jesus. Look at me." Have to imagine it was a noisy time when Jesus was leaving the gates of Jericho as well, too. And there could have been other beggars as well, shouting out. Maybe not to Jesus, but just for money from other travelers that were going through. And there's shoving and jostling probably going on. Can you imagine that? Can you see that? But again, Bartimaeus heard, shouted, and here's what I love. Jesus stopped. Jesus stood still. Jesus heard the cry of Bartimaeus. And he says, "Bring him over." Brothers and sisters, when we call out to Jesus, Jesus stops. And he listens to us. He may not always answer us right away, but he listens and he hears us. Always know that you are being heard, okay? And that if our heart and our mind and our soul is seeking out Jesus earnestly, he's hearing that. We may not always realize it. We may not always know it. But he is always there. No matter our shape, no matter our situation, we can't be down deep enough for him to lift us up out of the depths that we may be experiencing going in. John Newton was in the middle of a sea big storm, and Christ came to him at that time in his life. I love this part. So Bartimaeus, he gets up because he says, come on, he wants you. He gets up, he goes, takes off his coat, and he throws it off him. He flings it away. And I'm like, why does he do that? Why does he take his cloak off and throw it away before he comes to Jesus? Ever thought about that? I love the Bible because they have these little sentences, little things in there that you're like, Because everything that's in the Word means something. It's there for a reason. And so, in my little mind, I'm like, why did you fling that coat aside? Well, I believe that Bartimaeus knew who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God. And so he's taking his old coat, his coat of grime, his coat of filth, and just says, I'm not going to be to my Jesus with this. I want that off of me. I'm going to come to him as I am. He flung off his coat. He flung off his old self to present himself to Lord Jesus. When you and I came to a faith in Jesus Christ, that's what we did too. That's what I did. I flung away my old coat, my old life. I was willing to be clothed not with my clothes of the world, of the earth, but of the clothes of the righteous, the clothes of the ones called to Jesus Christ. I want that coat. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, tell us therefore if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You see, when you and I, when we turned our life over to Jesus, that happened for us. We flung off our old coat, our coat of sin, our coat of filth. But as we turn to Jesus, ask him into our lives, we get a new coat. Remember that old coat that said, for members only? You guys remember that coat? I got me a new coat. Member of God's family. Member of God's family. We all have that same coat. And what's in your coat? There's a lot of good stuff in that new coat of yours. Number one, you got the Bible, right? You got his word. Our coat comes with the word of God. And what else do we get? I don't have fruit in my pocket, but we got fruit of the Spirit, right? We got the fruits of God that come to us. Love and joy and peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. All those things that can only come from Jesus Christ and from God. Because of me and my own, I can't do those things. So Bartimaeus flings off his old coat and says, oh, teacher, Rabboni, I want to see. And just as Jesus is going to like a big thing, a big theatrical thing, he goes, no. He says, all right, it's done. Your faith has healed you. And then we're told immediately he was healed. He could see, and he followed Jesus down the road. So what about you and I? Here's the good news. He's done that for us. Are you a believer in Jesus Christ? Have you accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior? Immediately, you went from old to new, and immediately you're a member of God's family for now and forever. That's a good thing. That's an amen. There you go. That's an amen. Jesus calls to each and every one of us like he did to Bartimaeus. Come and see what I have for you. Come and see what I can do for you. Come and see the new life that you will have in me. See, we're all called. We've been called. David was called to go to South Sudan. you were called to be doing the things that you're doing for Christ and to expand his kingdom here in this earth. We've all been called to be a son and daughter of God through Jesus Christ. And so he loves us no matter where we are, no matter what we are doing. He calls to us many times in our lives, and he never stops calling us. We might stop listening sometimes. I know I do. But if we're willing to hear him, willing to hear him call out to us, well, the question is, are we willing to listen to him? That's the question. You know, and he may allow us to come to places in our lives that they're not fun. Just flat out not good. Health issues. That's tough. Can't control them. Things happen in our lives. Marriage issues. Kid issues. Job issues. Life issues. Right? It's going to happen to us. It's part of what we have here. And these things don't happen to us out of any sort of judgment or damnation or anger of God toward us. Sometimes these happen to us because of our free will, our choice to make things happen to us, okay? But we can't do it on our own. We can't handle it on our own. Ever feel like you're going around blind through life? Ever felt that in your life? I have. Even as a believer, I have. I put a blindfold on for a season of time. Had spiritual blindness going on. Decided to turn my back to him for a bit and just do the world things. Don't want to pay attention to the voice calling out to me. And before we were believers, and I'm sure some of this, because I don't know where everyone's at here. I know the majority of you, you're believers. And that's great. We got young kids in here too. Don't know where they're at. But you know, before we became a believer, we were all blind. We all had the same thing in common. We were all blind. We were all sinful. I did this in first service, and I didn't mean to, but I did, and someone advised me to do this again. I'm going to share my testimony with you a little bit. I knew who God was. I knew there was a God. I knew there was a Jesus. I knew there's a Spirit. But I really didn't know who Jesus was. And as far as God, I figured, well, he was more of a damning God, more of an angry God. And with my life, up until that point in time, I was already so far gone, it didn't really matter what I would do anymore. And so I got married young and had kids young, and I didn't know any better, and I was blind, and I was just in there for Tim. And I was a drinker, and I did drugs, and I did anything I wanted to do just for myself and to do what I thought was the things that a tough guy should do. Had a kid. Thought, okay, I better get straightened up. Didn't really work. Had another young child then, my second son, my boy. I thought, okay, I better really make this thing work now, because I could tell at the age of 28 years of age, the path I was going down, I probably was going to see 40 years of age. And so I went through a rehab. And I got clean, and I got sober. And my uncle gave me a Bible, NIV Bible, study Bible. And I would read it. It didn't really quite make sense to me, really. But I was reading it, and I was hearing some of the things that were being said. He would talk to me, and I listened to VCY when I was driving around doing sales stuff, and I would hear those preachers preaching to me. And I thought, okay, I kind of got this thing going through now, you know? Kind of all about Tim. Tim's doing it, right? Diane goes to me one time. We got into a pretty good argument about something. I don't remember what it was. And she says, you know, that's it. I'm done. She goes, I'm done. I want a divorce. I want out of here. And I love her so much, and I loved her then too so much. And I said, you know, if that makes you happy, then that's okay. Then that's fine. And so she went upstairs, and of course I was on my couch that night. I had to get a little levity in there. for you. He's so serious looking at me. So that night, it all came crashing down. God finally had me to a point where I called out to him really, truly, and seriously for the first time. And I prayed to him to become my Savior that night on my knees on the couch in my living room. And said to him, whatever he wanted in my life, I will give it to him and do for him. If he wanted me to be divorced from my wife and be doing something, I says, whatever you want, Lord. I said, but in your mercy, please grant me some mercy. Well, two miracles happened, brothers and sisters. First was I took up that Bible, the NIV Bible, and I still have that Bible. Got saved by that Bible. Love that Bible. Now I do New King James Version. Doesn't really matter. But I opened up that Bible, started reading it. It's like the scales came off my eyes. I read it, and I heard Jesus, and I understood it. That was the first miracle that he gave me right there. This miracle is continuing to give me, and I praise him for that. Second miracle was that next morning, my wife comes down from the upstairs. Before I could say anything, she goes, together with God, we'll make this work. And he has. See, I was so blind. I was so blind. I thought the things of this earth, the things of this world, things of me, were so much more important than what really is important. I guess I shared that because I want you to know that he does do miracles in lives. I'm a standing miracle. As Dick said, there's many standing miracles, or city miracles, as it were, right here in these pews right now. I want you to know that you're not a wasted effort. Maybe you're in the pew right now, and you think, you know what? That's good for you, Tim, but it doesn't pertain to me. Wrong. You're not a wasted effort. None of us are. You are somebody to God. You are not a wasted life. God loves you, and Jesus is calling out to you. Hear him and come to him, because no person is hopeless to him. No person is hopeless. Satan will try to throw worldly temptations at us, the stuff at us, you know. But yet, if we're not listening to Jesus, who are we listening to, right? As I said, sometimes in my life, I can choose to take up blindfold, put on my own eyes for a season. The Holy Spirit takes hold of it and yanks it off. No matter our baggage of sin, no matter our baggage of what's going on in our lives, he is calling out to you and to I. He's saying, come here. Come here. He's saying, I love you. He's saying, I want you. You see, if we listen to that call of Jesus throughout our whole life, we're centered on him then. If I get off to one side or the other, who am I centered on? Well, not him, probably on me. And that's not so good. Christianity does not give you trials or freedom over trials and tribulations in your life. We're all going to go through it. It's part of what this world's about, unfortunately. It started with Adam and Eve. But I also believe that God allows us troubles because that's how he gets our attention. He gets our attention through our troubles that go on. He also gets us to look and depend upon him when we're going through our troubles. You talked about that, Judy, this morning. They throw up their hands and say, well, you know what? I'm going to God. He's the one. And he is the one. Depend upon him because he's the best thing to depend upon. Far too often in life, we try to take on our own difficulties on our own terms and our own strengths, and that leads to typically failure in my life. You see, God wants us to cry out to him, to hear the voice of the one that he sent for us, who is Jesus Christ. And when God and Jesus hear a voice crying out to him, that's pleasing to them. You know, parents, when you have a child crying out for you, calling out to you, do you ignore that cry? Of course not. You long for that cry many times, don't you? My daughter just came home in March, moved back from a terrible relationship that Diana had been praying about. And she finally cried and says, I need to come home. And we brought her home. And through God's will and ability, got her centered back in her life and to, you know, spiritually as well as whole physically for her. That's how Jesus will show us, each of us too, no matter what, no matter when. Christian for 1 month or 1,000 months, he wants us to cry out to him. If you're not a Christian today, if you're not a believer today, he wants you to cry out to him today. Children that are out there, you teenagers out there, he wants you to cry out to him and to come to him. Many times I found that difficulties reveal blessings. You know, even I don't see the blessings today, that the blessings will be seen, maybe not here on this earth, but in heaven, all right? That it will be revealed to us. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." We're all the same. You guys did a little clap for me when you introduced, okay, and I shook my head like this because, you know what? I am no better than any one of you. Maybe I'm a little bit dumber because I get up here and talk to people, okay? And give secrets out and stuff like that, okay? But we're all the same, brothers and sisters. We're all the same. There is not one of us better than the other. Not one of us. We were all blind at one time. And now we're all seeing Jesus together. Again, I don't know. Maybe you're blind today. Maybe you are a saved person, but yet just going through a moment in time, a season that right now that's kind of got you blinded. Maybe you haven't accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and he's saying to you, now come here. He's speaking to your heart. I know when I would be going to church, especially in the early days, I'm like, man, every time I'm in church, a pastor's talking to me. I'm glad for that. I'm glad for that. And he's still doing that. He's talking to me right now as I'm up here, talking to my heart. As he's talking to your hearts, I'm sure. Would you do me a favor? Would you guys all just close your eyes for a minute, please? Speak to Jesus in your heart. For those of you who are believers, just thank Jesus for that great and wonderful gift of love that he's given to you. And if you're hearing his voice maybe for the first time, or if you're hearing his voice for the first time in a little while, because maybe you walked away a little bit, he's saying to you, come here. And if you desire to make that commitment to acknowledge Christ as Lord and Savior of life, then do that now. Or just get back in relationship with him then. Do that now. Because he's always there for you and I. Do you hear him? Do you hear him? Open your eyes. Lord Jesus, we need you. Each and every one of us need you, Father. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins. Thank you for loving sinners like ourselves. Please, Lord God, just take control of our lives once again. Mold us and move us and direct us where you'd like us to be. Make us the person you want us to be for you. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go forth, brothers and sisters, beloved. Let's go and follow Jesus. How's that? Amen? Amen? Amen. All right. I'm done here.